This is the Warren County Radio Bible School that is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And today we're looking at an old Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of February the 6th, 1927, about the practice of Christian stewardship. Now, we've had a couple of classes on this lesson so far, but we're going to continue today, and I'll just, by way of review, go ahead and read some of the text, because we're talking about the profitable servants. Let me read Matthew 25, verses 14 through 23. For it is as when a man going into another country called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he gave one 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his several ability. And he went on his journey. Straightway he that received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made other 5 talents. In like manner also he that receiveth 2 gained other 2. But he that receiveth the 1 went away and digged in the earth and hid his lord's money. Now after a long time the lord of those servants cometh and maketh a reckoning with them. And he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast deliverest unto me 5 talents, and lo, I've gained other 5 talents. And his lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy lord. And he that received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Lo, I've gained other 2. And the lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, on the notes on that, beginning in verse 20, we read from Elam's notes that by industry, diligence, and good judgment, he who had received the 5 talents gained 5 more. He acknowledged his obligations to his Lord for all, since the Lord had given him the money. So today, God gives life, breath, and all things unto all men. Acts 17:25-28. Joyfully this servant came forward to give his account. Hope putteth not to shame. Romans 5:1-5. Paul joyfully looks forward to the coming of Christ. He says of the Thessalonians, For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of glorying? Are not even ye before the Lord Jesus at his coming? 1 Thessalonians 2:19. So he says of the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1:14, and of the Philippians in Philippians 4:1. So it will be with everyone who properly improves and uses the talents and opportunities that God gives to him. Well done, good and faithful servant. His Lord commended him for his diligence in business and rewarded him for his faithfulness and goodness. I will set thee over many things. Greater trust were committed to him because he was prepared to manage them. Faithfulness in little is the only road to the successful management in much. And enter thou into the joy of the Lord. When the master returned from a long journey, it was customary to celebrate his return with a festival, and the joys of which all faithful servants were invited to share. There will be a spiritual and eternal feast in heaven in which all faithful servants of Jesus will participate. Likewise, he that had received 2 talents had gained 2 more. And likewise the Lord blessed him in exactly the same language which he used in rewarding the first. In God's service, promotion depends upon faithfulness and not upon abundance. All cannot do abundantly great things, but all can do faithfully little things. Not the number of talents, but the proper use and improvement of those possessed bring the reward and the blessing. The faithful discharge of duties now prepares one for greater usefulness in the future. This is true in every station of life. The boy today who is faithful in little will become ruler over much. The duties and opportunities of today are tests by which God proves one's worthiness of greater trust for the future. All these duties and obligations in which one proves himself faithful are few things compared to the heavenly trust and rewards. According to this, the faithful will not be unemployed in heaven, but will be set over many things. But then, we read of the unprofitable servant. Matthew 25:24-28. And he also that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow, and gathering where thou didst not scatter. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast thine own. But his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I did not scatter. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and my coming I should have received back mine own with interest. Take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath 10 talents. This unprofitable servant was the last to report. We can understand why he should linger behind. He was not, as Peter said, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of the Lord, 2 Peter 3:12. Sin makes ashamed and fills one with misgivings and fears. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath punishment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. 1 John 4:18. This servant accused his master of being harsh and unfeeling, dishonest and unscrupulous. So now many think Jesus is exacting, that he makes unreasonable demands of self-sacrifice, self-denial, and self-controlled. They think it too much to ask of them to meet on the first day of the week to eat the Lord's Supper in memory of Jesus, and otherwise worship God as he requires. Some, like this servant, seem determined not to improve their opportunities and to blame the Lord for their failures. They have simply buried their talent. The wicked seek comfort in finding fault and accusing others of wrongdoing. But the Lord said, Thou wicked and unslothful servant. He was wicked because he had wrongfully accused his master. He tried to justify himself by accusing his master of dishonesty. He was slothful in that he had not improved his talent. Granting that his Lord was exacting and unscrupulous, he at least ought to have put his money out into interest. As it was, the Lord did not receive his own. One cannot suffer the gifts of God that he has bestowed upon him and allow them to lie idle and his opportunities to pass unimproved, and yet give back to God his own. It is well to note this servant's sins. He was not a thief. He did not steal this talent or rob widows and orphans. He came by it honestly. The Lord gave it to him. Neither was he accused as the prodigal son of wasting his substance in riotous living, or as the unjust steward of squandering his Lord's money. He was not dissipated and immoral. He was slothful, inactive, and lacking in energy and zeal in God's service. He suffered for what he did not do and lost his soul through unfaithfulness. It is worthy of note, too, that the servant with the one talent failed. One is prone to think that because he can accomplish so little for Jesus, it is unnecessary for him to try to do anything. It is duty, service, love, faithfulness, character that God wants. All this can be developed and is manifested in little as well as in much. Then it is not for the Lord's profit, but for one's own benefit and salvation, that he should improve his talent or his talents. The servant had proved himself unworthy of his trust and had neglected his opportunity. Therefore, his talent was taken from him. This was the natural consequence of his sloth. The principle is demonstrated in a dozen ways around us every day. In various ways, people sin away their opportunities. And give it unto him that hath 10 talents, the Lord said, because he is worthy and will improve it. And as stated in verse 39, every opportunity improves, fits one for greater opportunities and greater service. This is the ruling principle of all successful lives. Without it, no life is successful. Activity and aggressive goodness are essential to salvation. And as is stated in verse 30, this servant was unprofitable because he had done nothing. He had not even returned to the Lord his own. The Lord hath given you, reader, a body, a mind, and a soul. Will you give them back weakened by idleness and impaired by sin? Jesus turns in verse 30 from the parable to that which it illustrates and declares that the wicked, slothful, and unprofitable servant will be lost forever. The outer darkness and the weeping and gnashing of teeth show the terrible punishment which await the indolent and unfaithful. There's a little poem at the end of their Sunday school lesson by one of my favorite poets, Edgar A. Guest. The title of the poem is Making Good. This is making good in life, being patient through the strife, being glad that you can bear now and then the touch of care, being cheerful day by day, being careful not to say bitter things which leave a sting. This, for labor or king, when the record's understood, is the depth of making good. This making good on earth, being glad to prove your worth, being kindly, being true, doing what you find to do, even though your strength is faint, without whimpering or complaint, doing little, doing much, with a brave and manly touch, drawing water, hewing wood cheerfully, is making good. This is making good with men, standing up to service when it were easier to stop and to let the burden drop, doing more than is your share, more than you are asked to bear. So when finished is the test, you may say, you've done your best. This is every neighborhood. This is the depth of making good. I turn the page in this old Sunday school book, and I see that this next lesson in this series of Christian living is about making our homes Christian. I'll read to you the golden text. It says in 1 John 4 and verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God.